Welcome to this edition of Medscape Oncology Insights on Patient Advocacy, coming to you from Vienna at the 2015 European Cancer Congress. My name is Bettina Reil. I'm a patient advocate and founding member of the Melanoma Patient Network Europe and chair of the ESMO Patient Advocacy Working Group. And I'm here with my friend Deb Maskins, vice chair of the International Kidney Cancer Coalition from Canada. Welcome,
yes.
Deb.
Yes.
So we are here in our function as patient advocates, and that means that we are not simple patients, but we are actually here as advocates. And I think that's an important distinction. Do you agree?
It's a really important distinction, Bettina. I am a kidney cancer patient, but I'm not here for my own care. I'm here really as the voice of a couple of thousand patients in Canada and across the world through the International Kidney Cancer Coalition that is based in Amsterdam. So it's really important to make that distinction for oncologists to understand that we are not patients in the room, we are there representing the patient voice in the room.
I would fully agree with that, and I think it is like something that I feel is often misunderstood at the level at which many of us are working, because many of us, would you agree, are actually experts in what
we're
doing.
I think there's a great mystery about what a patient advocate really does, and sometimes when I explain that we have a role with health technology assessments in our various countries, that we meet with governments, we meet with drug plan managers, we meet with regulators, etc. We have a core role. Many oncologists, I don't think, quite appreciate that that's an emerging role, and we have emerged as a new stakeholder, as a sophisticated patient advocate who understands the healthcare system that they are in and who also needs to understand the scientific developments that are happening in their disease area and to really work on introducing those scientific developments to the patient so that we can get innovations to the patients in a faster manner than currently we are.
I fully agree with you. So now the meeting has just begun and there's a dedicated patient advocacy track here in Vienna at the European Cancer Congress. What's your impression so far?
You know, I'll say, coming from an ASCO perspective, this is truly impressive. So congratulations to everyone at ECHO and ESMO for bringing this together. It's amazing to see session after session of really, truly quality advocate education. The only qualifier that I would put on that is that I can't be in two places at once. So I came here primarily for scientific updates, to hear the research and to communicate that back to the patient community, but I can't be in the patient advocacy session at the same time. So I'm forever running back and forth, and I know that I'm missing things. So what do you think? I think I see you running the same hallways that I'm running.
Well, I would agree with you that I'm having the same problem. So I'm here for melanoma, and I'm obviously interested in finding out, because this is the perfect place. And where else do you want to get updates firsthand? So we report live from the meeting. So we have a blog, we tweet,
yes.
We are on our social forum, because our patients want to know. And in a disease like melanoma, patients do not have time, and they want to know on the spot. So our ambition is real-time reporting from meetings. I think from my perspective, a big gathering like this would be the perfect opportunity to actually increase the exchange between our side of the world and the oncology community.
Absolutely. Bettina, we don't want to be in a separate room. We don't want to be in a separate building. We want, you know, and to some extent, I believe that advocates have truly been accommodated at this meeting, but we need to be integrated. And I'm looking forward to seeing ECHO take this one level further so that we are truly integrated into every main session, and then be absolutely standard practice that there be a patient on the panel, that there be the patient voice represented. And, you know, I really hope that when there is a scientific presentation, that the speaker will stay back for a few moments and speak to the advocates, because we are the ones who are taking that information out to the broadest number of patients.
So from that perspective, we can say that with this ECC Congress, this has already happened to a degree, because we have
indeed
sessions
yes.
that are co-chaired by advocates.
Some, but not all.
That's absolutely true. But we now have advocates in the main tracks, and I do think that this
it's
is
huge.
For us.
It's a huge step.
It's a huge step forward. What do you think we could do even better, as we are both very keen on improvement for our patients? What would be your dream?
Wow, what would be the dream? As I said, I would love to be able to stop chasing the oncologist down the hall. Please, Dr. So-and-so, can I just have two questions from your presentation? Because literally that's what we're doing. And I recognize that for oncologists, this is an important opportunity to meet with their peers, but it's a really important opportunity for us to integrate the advocates together with the oncology community. So that would be key. If we can just ask them, please, to hang back. Let's get some questions, because we're going to get that information out as quickly as possible. That's one piece. I think if we can make it even easier for patient advocates to be able to attend. So there have been some great fellowship programs, some travel assistance, etc. It's still really expensive for a lot of patient advocates. Most of us function as volunteers, yes. So that we are taking time away from whatever we would do. Sometimes people are taking vacation days to be here, yep. And they're dipping into their own pocket many times to pay for their expenses. So anything we can do. I also look at the patient advocacy booths in the exhibit square, and it's wonderful this year. We see them in the middle, which is yes. Terrific, but we really are the poor cousins in the exhibit hall, and I would love to see more of a focus on what can we do so that we get more oncologists through the patient advocacy booths so that they can learn about some of the initiatives that we're taking on at the pan-European level, at the international level. I think they'd be truly impressed, but the lure of the bigger booths with the nicer carpet and the cappuccino machines is there.
This actually very much matches my impression that there is a lack of awareness of who we are and mm-hmm. what we do, and because, as you said, we look like the poorer cousins and don't have the flashy outfit, and definitely not in Europe, where advocacy rather runs on a tiny budget.
That's right.
We are advocacy on a shoestring.
Yes.
And I do think this actually also translates in a general lack of awareness of the patient perspective, because this is something I would like to discuss with you, which has happened to me and which has greatly upset me, that I was sitting in a presentation and someone was presenting melanoma overall survival data and said actually that not enough events had occurred in order to make this data meaningful.
Yes.
And for me, this was extremely painful, as I knew people on those curves personally.
Yes.
And they were those events. And I felt there is a disjunct between what is data and the human perspective.
Absolutely.
In it.
If I could just, it's just a simple fix, but at the end of many presentations, very quickly there's a slide put up that says, we'd like to thank the patients and their families. I would just like to remind the oncologists that the patients and their families are not in the room. So it would be one thing to pause on that slide and to make a sincere thank you, but I would actually like to bring that slide to the very beginning of their presentation, because if it wasn't for patients who are giving their time, their tissue, their body for biopsy, etc., if it wasn't for patients, we wouldn't have this research. So this conference is not about careers and resume building. I think we do have to acknowledge right up front that this is about patients. There are many patients who've contributed to this trial research, and there are many patients who depend upon these results. So I'd like to bring that forward and to make it clear, we can do our jobs as advocates to continue to tell patients how much appreciated their involvement is in clinical trials and how desperately we need them to look at clinical trials and to consider joining clinical trials so that we can increase the rate of participation worldwide. So that would be a simple fix. We know with oncologists, we know that you're deeply appreciative because we see you on an individual level. But if we could make that first and foremost in your presentations, that would go a long way to expressing that sentiment.
So now we are advocates and we are about action. What do you think what we as advocacy community could do or should do in order to push for a greater visibility and integration? What do you think we should be doing?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we can sit in our patient advocacy track and look around and say, well, the doctors aren't here. We had actually an excellent session the other day on shared decision making. And I think we can talk all day how much we believe in shared decision making. So it should be the oncologist and the patient together making the treatment decision. But if it's just patient advocates talking to one another, we can say to one another, well, isn't that a shame that the oncologists aren't sitting in the row? The oncologists face the very same dilemma. They're over in the other building at their scientific session. So one approach would be to say, if the mountain won't come to Muhammad, then We have to go. And so I would say, let's not sit in our patient advocacy room and bemoan the lack of physicians. Let's go into the physician room and continue.
Yeah. Maybe we can also help them with their communication sessions on how to communicate with difficult patients. Because that indeed exists.
Absolutely.
For me, this is the perfect example of communication that is not working. We as advocates organize sessions how to talk to your oncologist, and oncologists have sessions how to talk to your patient. If we just talk to each other, we might actually
Absolutely.
Make headway.
You know, one area where I think we have a lot of value to provide to physicians is on how to advocate. There are so many physicians that I work with on the international scale where we go to governments together, where we put submissions together. When physicians say, but I'm not, I don't do government advocacy, that's not my specialty, actually it's exactly what you do, and it's what we need. You do it very well, you have the credibility of being an oncologist, and so we want to do this work together with you. But I think in helping to teach physicians how to advocate in strategic ways so that we have access, so that we don't want to waste money in clinical trials that aren't effective. We don't want to see patients sign up for trials that are perhaps not the ideal trial set up for them. So we really want to work in that partnership. And I think when it comes down to access to innovative medicines in Europe and across the world, we have to work in partnership. And it's not okay for the oncologist to expect for us to do that alone. We need to do it together.
And now you are in Canada, I'm here in Europe, and I would be interested in your perspective. I do think that when talking to our oncologists here, I do think that many of them are not aware of the amount of service that an advocacy group actually provides to patients and the type of support. I routinely find that when I pass on what patients are actually discussing on the forum, I am met with great astonishment that patients actually have such a need for that. And I believe we are actually providing a valuable service to the healthcare system, and we could be even better if we got more input from our medical community, and especially the oncology community. Is that similar in Canada, you think?
It's very similar. I mean, Canada in many ways, our healthcare system is quite European in its origins. And so the patient advocacy group plays a key role in helping patients navigate and in helping patients understand new scientific discoveries. So just this week, we have major announcements, there are press releases, the lay media picks up on a lot of these releases, and sometimes the lay media gets it wrong. And that's a real danger for us because our patients are picking up the newspaper. Sometimes you read a headline that says 50% of terminal cancer patients will be cured. Wouldn't we all love that to be true? Unfortunately, it's not true. So part of the role that we play is to help patients understand the new discoveries in the context of what we already have. And it may be within the context of a treatment that they're already on. Because one of the last things we want is for a patient to feel that perhaps they're on something that's inferior to a new discovery, and to have that sort of, you know, burning question in the middle of the night that, you know, maybe this isn't working for me because I just read the headline. So it's a really important role that we play in helping patients contextualize the new discoveries and to have an informed and empowered discussion with their oncologist at their next visit.
This is actually a bit of a sideline, but actually touches on an initiative by Ben Goldacker, who did an analysis, actually finding that lots of these headlines that you mentioned are in the end coming or already present in the original scientific publication. And I actually think this is an advocacy effort that we can take forward to the scientific and the oncology community to be very careful with their speculation. Because I do think that another research scientist appreciates the might and the
That's
may.
Right.
But this is not what the media picks up. And our patients come also to us, and I'm sure they also take it back to their oncologists.
That's right.
And someone told me personally that the worst thing is to take away hope from a patient. So I think we all have to make an effort that reporting in the general media is actually adequate and providing appropriate hope, but not something that cannot be sustained and in the end is detrimental for our patients.
Absolutely. If you think about something as basic as communicating a negative trial. So imagine the patient has been on a trial, maybe they're still on it, And they've given their time, they've put their hope in this trial, and now the results have come out. This trial was negative. Imagine how that feels to be a cancer patient and to have a life-threatening disease. And so part of what we need to do is to help understand that you did not fail the trial, that the innovation didn't lead up to it, to its expectations, but we are together moving the science forward. And this is a really key discussion, because we have devastated patients at home when they get the wrong message, and we have many patients who start to question their current therapy, and they may be on a very effective therapy for them, and part of what we need to do is to reinforce, keep them planted, one foot in hope, and the other foot very firmly planted in reality. If this is where we are today, some of the advancements that we see at this meeting, we may not actually see rolled out into common practice where I live for 1 to 2 years. And so we have to understand that these treatments are not FDA approved, and they're not reimbursed in many countries. And so there's a real barrier there. And all patients are on a roller coaster, but part of our job is to help them understand where we are with that particular roller coaster at this moment.
I do think, and to sum up, you have mentioned a number of points that, like, that are heavily based in science. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that we are involved in health technology assessment processes, we are involved with regulatory agencies, and I do think that advocacy, in my opinion, is evolving towards a more technical and a more sophisticated advocacy than we are maybe used to in the past, where I think patient advocacy was mainly perceived as supportive
and
focused on fundraising, which we still need, but I do think there's hope or there's growth on the horizon, and from my perspective, and I hope you join me in that, as we would like to see this not only here in Vienna, but our hope would be to have a dedicated advocacy concept for all major meetings worldwide.
Absolutely. Patients included in all major meetings worldwide. It's where we want to be, and let's hope that this sets an example and we take it even further at future medical congresses. So,
thanks for joining me here today. As always, it's a pleasure.
It's a great pleasure, Bettina.
And we would like to thank the audience for joining us here in Vienna today.